So we have the U.S. District Judge James Boasberg came out with a 24-page order, and we found out today that the Dakota Access Pipeline has to be shut down by August 5th, and most interestingly, has to be drained, which I don't know if anybody knows how long it's going to take to drain over 1,000 miles of pipeline and oil. But first of all, Kelly, maybe just give us your thoughts and what's going on here.
Yeah, well, my thoughts are this is under really troubling times for the North Dakota economy. This is absolutely devastating. I mean, I cannot say that. I don't think that can be overstated enough. And if there is ever a reason for a venue bill where somebody, I mean, and when you are dealing with these situations, you need to deal with it. It's a two-pronged test. It's the insufficiency of the permit and the economic interruption and disturbance it will cause. And this judge obviously has no idea about what happens in commodity-based economies, because he essentially said because of COVID and because so many wells are shut in already, there is really no economic cost. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. I'm glad you talked about how to shut down a pipeline, because I don't think they understand how that works either. But we don't have the scale. We don't have the ability to build back up our rail transport when you are not quickly, not by August 5th. And one of the biggest things we fight in the oil and gas industry in North Dakota is transportation discount, which will only become more severe. But more importantly, without that pipeline and without the capacity on rail, we don't have a way to get our product to market. It is really that simple.
And this is going to be devastating for the economy of North Dakota. Talk to the Petroleum Council President Ron Ness. I mean, you just even talk about the tax gathering that comes from oil, which pays, what, about 60% of North Dakota's budget, I believe. You talk about the people that are employed in the state. And this will have an effect also on other other job sectors, including agriculture.
It'll have an effect on everything across the board. Anybody who wants to fund social services, anybody who wants to fund the Fargo diversion, anybody who wants to fund any of the programs in North Dakota should be really, really upset about a judge in Washington, D.C. determining what is economically feasible versus risk. Here's the thing. The deficiency in permit issue is litigated, and it's getting more sophisticated all the time by environmental activists. But you can find the permit deficient without shutting down the pipeline. This is really unprecedented in these kind of cases, particularly because you know the harm to it isn't all that bad since it's been running for 3 years without incident. So you could tell in the first paragraph of this judge's order, he is not a dispassionate arbiter of facts. He is cheerleading this decision in the very first paragraph of his order, and it's really, really troubling.
So where does the oil industry go from here? Obviously, it sounds like Energy Transfer Partners will appeal, but you know, the appeal process, what's that like? And does that take months, years?
Well, they will ask this judge for a stay. I'm assuming that decision will be made very quickly, like by the end of the week. After that, and my guess is he won't give it to them, considering I've read the opinion. Then it'll go to a three-judge panel in the D.C. circuit. And depending on how that ruling goes, I mean, there's going to be fighting about the ultimate determination of this, and also really significant pressures to say, hey, leave this pipeline open while we are determining all of these things. So that'll go to the Circuit Court of Appeals. We could have that decision probably before August 5th. And then depending on how that works out and what other parts of this are part of it, it could go to the full D.C. Circuit, or it will end up being petitioned for cert in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. And the problem is this could all happen very quickly if there's injunctive relief that keeps the pipeline open. If they manage to get this pipeline shut down, I'm not sure what the sense of urgency, then it would run through the normal appeal. It might run through the normal appeals process, which could take, to be honest, years.
And it is interesting that this already was a political topic before even this decision today, and it affects so many lives in North Dakota. Is this going to be a topic for the presidential, you know, trail down this fall? I don't know what Joe Biden's position is.
Joe Biden has said he would ban fracking. Joe Biden has said he would shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. People who care about commodity-based economies in the interior of the United States, where we have to get our products to market, should really care about these things. And it doesn't matter if you don't like the oil industry, doesn't matter if you don't like the natural gas industry, doesn't matter what you like. Sooner or later, these environmental activists come for all of it. They have come out, they have put production agriculture in their crosshairs already. They will continue to do that. They do not like how we live in North Dakota. They do not like the things we produce in North Dakota. They don't like how we produce them. And they, quite frankly, have never been here and have no desire to come here. And we should care about that. We should care about it as a state. We should care about it. Our two biggest industries in ag and energy should be absolutely appalled by what has happened today.
What else do we need to know about this?
I would tell everybody to read the opinion. You don't have to be a legal expert. You don't have to understand this stuff to understand just by the language this judge uses that this was, I mean, I think he's been waiting his whole life to write this decision. It really is. I mean, we need to support this. And this, and by the way, this isn't the matter. What you will hear on the backside is this isn't a big deal because the EIS review process is supposed to be done in the middle of 2021. Well, one, it's a big deal until 2021 if we can't move oil through this pipeline. Two, that is never the end of the process. It doesn't matter what that EIS report contains. It will immediately be litigated and could be tied up in litigation for another 5 years.
Wow.
So we know we've had 8,000 wells shut in because of COVID and because of the lack of demand for petroleum products worldwide. With this ruling, if this ruling stays in place, there is just going to be zero incentive for these companies to restart those wells, which will be, I mean, we talk about the North Dakota economy as a whole, and we should. But as somebody who lives in Western North Dakota, I want people to understand what this does to Stanley, what this does to Watford City, what this does to Tioga, what this does to Kildare, what it does to Dickinson, and what it does to Williston. These are blue-collar, great, high-paying jobs. These people have, I mean, we have had seen an influx. Our communities have gotten younger. Our families have been allowed, people have been allowed to find work close to home and not leave North Dakota. This really puts those communities and those livelihoods in jeopardy. And I wish I could say it's shocking, but nothing shocks me anymore. But it is really, really dangerous precedent for these guys to go down.
Well, the other part of this is, so now with the pipeline being shut down, that means a lot of this crude oil is going to have to go back on the rails, the railroad. And
eventually, yeah. I mean, the rail capacity, and you'll be, I mean, remember in the middle of the oil boom when we were fighting, I mean, when egg producers had a tough time getting their stuff to market. Now, that's the best case scenario, is where we have that pinch point problem again and we're competing. The worst case scenario is they don't have to compete with it because nobody's turning their oil wells back on.
Oh, yeah, that would be, yeah, yep, you're right.
I mean, remember, this is the same Congress where every Democrat in the U.S. House of Representatives voted to ban allowing liquefied natural gas on rail cars. This isn't just about a pipeline. You know, we've been involved in the Keystone XL pipeline because that essentially shut down the entire nationwide Corps of Engineers Permit 12 program. This is outside of COVID, outside of all the stressors were in place. I mean, this is where the environmental activist left continues to go. And it's not just here. Ask any farmer with a combine, any farmer with any piece of equipment. Ask them how many water pumps are in that piece of equipment between now and 20 years ago. They continue to drive up the cost and make it more difficult to do these things either through the permit process or the sue and settle litigation. And it is a really detrimental impact, not just to oil and gas, but to all commodities. And we need to pay attention and we need to recognize how important elections are.
Kelly, what can a normal person do with this? How do they
vote?
I
mean, you know, I hear this a lot from my friends on the left. Country over party, and those people who dislike this president. But I can tell you, at some point in time, somebody's going to have to say state over party too, because the Democratic Party as it exists and these types of activist judicial rulings aren't just bad for the oil and gas industry. They're bad for North Dakota, and they aren't getting better.
What is the likelihood that this judge will be overruled?
That's the whole thing. It's this two-pronged test. I mean, the deficiency of the permit is one part of the analysis. But the part of the analysis that really doesn't make any sense, and it's obvious why. If you ever thought you should have venue law, this is the reason why. We should have judges in districts that actually produce things making these decisions, because it is obvious this judge has. I mean, he's in D.C., which, I mean, through no fault of his own, they don't grow anything, they don't build anything, they don't produce anything. And you can tell by how he weighs the economic impact on our entire state that he has absolutely no concept about what we do here. None.